Gentlemen, we even tied them to birds, pigeons in flight, and hoped the message got there, if it took all night. Eventually came computers connected with wires. Messages blossomed, fast internet inspired. Bits of light and data the world they rounded. Ideas and stories and communication abounded. Then the snooping, it started slowly at first, for consumers and citizens. Then it grew in a burst, with names quite creepy made on government floors. The spies, they could watch what was once only yours. Some people encrypted, then fully disconnected. But with thumb drives and disks, they still weren't protected. From government heavies who took the whole set. Sit down, old chap. You may be a terrorist yet. Thank you.
when people understand that their every conversation of every kind, not only this one, but on phones, email, chat logs, whatever, is being recorded and can be retrieved on file, that will certainly affect people's freedom of speech. Over any digital means, certainly. And by the way, it gives the government blackmail capability over the population at large. And that's the way the Stasi in East Germany, the secret police in East Germany, if you look at the movie The Lives of Others, that's how they used the indiscretions, the blackmail capability they had over people, to turn them into informants and get out of them information that isn't on any digital means or any electronic means, the kind of information you can only get in bed or on a walk in a field with your relatives.
Only yours. Some people encrypted, then fully disconnected. But with thumb drives and disks, they still weren't protected. From government heavies who took the whole set. Sit down, old chap. You may be a terrorist yet. Nowhere to hide and rights on the wane. You couldn't even send messages by plane. So wires were cut and flights taken no more, till an ingenious invention evened the privacy score. With paper and pen, we were free at last. We'd roll it in scrolls, stick it on a pigeon's ass. And so goes the story how we got our privacy treasure. Once Glenn Greenwald killed the internet forever. Don't let him fuck fucking L, inhale the adrenaline. Jim and a Jackovich, no comparison. You don't hate you, you just anti-American. Terrorist fuck, militant war veteran. Time to hit your head, time to trap you, veteran. Bodies in the face and the bitches you think you're better than. Jim Henson, who the fuck you smart settling.
Of some sort. A nation of informants gives them really everything. But with the digital stuff alone, which didn't even exist at the time of the Stasi, we have a surveillance capability that outmatches any police state in the history of humanity.
Was sentenced to 35 years in prison for violating the Espionage Act. The Real News spoke to Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Chris Edges about the sentence.
Although it was less than I thought the judge was going to throw at him, my gut reaction was quite emotional. I was quite upset, and I think that that's because this is part of a larger process by which any attempt to shine a light on the inner workings of power is not only being shut down, but those with a conscience who attempt to inform the wider public of, in the case of Manning, crimes that have been committed, war crimes, have become, in this society, criminals, that the whole moral and legal system has been inverted.
you for so long.
Alright, hey, this is Furious George here, signing in, trying to introduce what I'm doing here. Microphone's not really working. Hey, listen, this is Micropower Radio, and with me tonight is the premiere of a special show with the new DJ, DJ E. Abby, and she's here ripping it up right now, in fact, tearing up her leash. And also, there's so much of the craziness going down in the radio land as far as the media and relating to Bradley Manning and Ellsberg's conditions relating to his interpretation of the police state. So many other things. We'll talk about CNN's weed discovery and hear some more from Chris Hedges. And, of course, some Mark Foray. He's a really important person to the show. Along with some of this crazy cool hip-hop in the background, which happens to be, there is Alona George. So there she is. And also, we'll play some crazy stuff from Bass Nectar's newest summer mix and some other fun stuff. If you want to learn more about the Furious George Show, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. You'll see all my old shows. And bang out to some cool bass and some other fun stuff. So listen, you can also, you know, we're live right now in the studio. So check it out, 919-246-9639. If you want to just get a request in or something. I'm Furious. Thanks for listening.
About medical marijuana. That's CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta's stunning conclusion after nearly a year of reporting. His new documentary may make you rethink what you thought about weed. Listen.
This is Piers Morgan Live. Welcome to our viewers in the United States and around the world. Tonight, our special look at America's biggest cash crop, marijuana, and the growing battle to legalize it. On one side, those who say that taxing it would help the government's fiscal problems. On the other, those who call it a gateway drug that leads to even greater danger. You'll meet them.
Legal to grow, to sell, to smoke. And marijuana could be legalized in a city near you. So easy to get. And many think so harmless. But when the smoke clears, is marijuana bad for you? Or could pot actually be good for you?
But this seems important. The law only exists explicitly for the purpose of determining whether that person is or has been involved in the commission, preparation, or instigation of acts of terrorism. That's what that law is for. That is the grounds on which they stopped him. That was the legal authority under which they held Glenn Greenwald's partner in detention for 9 hours. Acts of terrorism. Journalism is not terrorism. Journalism can be enraging to people in power. Journalism can sometimes even be frightening to people in power. But journalism is not terrorism. Reporting on what governments do, even when those governments prefer to keep those actions secret, is not terrorism. Terrorism is a real and discrete thing in the world. It is not an all-encompassing term that you apply to everything the government doesn't want you to do. The White House today said it had been given a heads up in advance that the detention of David Miranda was likely to happen. Britain gave the U.S. a heads up before it happened. The White House went out of their way today to say that it was Britain's decision to detain Glenn Greenwald's partner. It was not something the U.S. asked Britain to do, and okay, fine, but the White House did know about it in advance, and it still happened. We have that kind of special relationship with Britain, where if our government were outraged that this detention was going to happen, we could have objected, right? We could have at least asked our dear friends, the British government, to not do this. Maybe in the interests of not intimidating the activities of the free press, if not for any other reason. Did our government make any objections when they got advance notice from Britain that this detention was going to happen? Did our government protest? And if not, why not? I tend to think that we did not protest since it went ahead. I know the U.S. government is not happy about Laura Poitras and Glenn Greenwald and their reporting about U.S. surveillance. The president said that the disclosures from their source have led to a disorderly debate about these issues. And even though we ought to have a debate about these issues, it ought to be more orderly. Fun. But if the United States wants to convince the world that the Glenn Greenwalds and Laura Poitras of the world are correct when they say the U.S. government is going too far, if they want to underline and put flashing red lights on that reporting that says that counterterrorism is being used to justify all sorts of things that are not justified by the actual threat of terrorism, and that in fact have just greenlit gross government overreach and intrusion and intimidation of legitimate activity, including journalism, then putting journalists and their families through marathon interrogations and seizing all their electronics is a really great way to start convincing the world that all that reporting is accurate. Letting our closest allies do it while we stand silent is the same thing as us doing it. Journalism is not terrorism. Pretending otherwise is outrageous and ridiculous and a dangerous affront to who we are as a country and as a democracy. It's an absolute outrage.
And you have a criminal class, whether that's on Wall Street, whether that's running the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, whether that's running our offshore penal colonies and torture centers, whether that is the use of electronic surveillance to sweep up all of the communications of most Americans. We are seeing all of the traditional checks by which we are able to thwart government tyranny ripped down. And so I look at what happened today as a kind of process, and a very depressing process, whereby not only civil liberties are shredded, but finally any capacity for the investigation and uncovering of the abuse of power is effectively thwarted. So, yeah, it's part of a larger picture. I felt heartbroken for him personally. But I think on some level also heartbroken for the rest of the country.
Including a woman known as the Martha Stewart of marijuana.
Welch, for reasons he got to turn to Las Vegas, an old friend of reason, Rob Campus. Executive Director of the Marijuana Policy Project. Rob, thanks for joining us, sir. We've had a pretty interesting last year and a half with legal marijuana in Washington and Colorado. Update us on what's happening there and what is coming up in the near future in the marijuana movement.
Governments of Colorado and Washington are actually faithfully implementing the will of the voters, so there will be marijuana businesses selling to adults in both states starting in the early part of 2014.
The terms of the peace, right? Are we winning the peace in addition to winning the war in Washington and Colorado?
Well, you know, we de-escalated or eliminated the war, and we have good relationships with government officials there, so it's peaceful. I think the next state to legalize will be Alaska through a ballot initiative that we're running in August of 2014. The polling's good. It's a cheap state. We can do it. Through state legislatures, I think the first state is going to be Rhode Island because almost everyone in the legislature is extremely liberal, and our bill is already halfway to passing. And then you're going to see a whole bunch of states voting on legalization initiatives in 2016, all on the same day.
All of them say it makes them better parents and reduces their anxiety and pain. Plus, CNN's Inside Man, Morgan Spurlock, shows what it's like to work in a marijuana dispensary.
You know, mental distress or mental illness, they're trying to get off, you know, the vast amounts of medication that they're on, prescription medication. It's interesting to see that it is, these are people looking to get help.
Were you surprised how easy it was to get a medical marijuana license?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's not like you have to have a tremendous amount, I think, of proof of an illness. Like, I went in and talked about how stressed I was, you know, at my job. You know how it is for your peers. You get stressed at work all the time. So that's what I, you know, so I basically went in, just talked about my stress and walked out with a card.
Lighting up all over the country. They call it the Green Rush.
And in terms of the overall debate, has your view about the marijuana debate changed at all?
I mean, when you look at a state like California, where the dispensary that I was in is the largest dispensary in the United States, it makes about $25 million a year, all of the money then going back into the clinic where they offer health services for their clients, they offer, you know, yoga, they offer psychiatric treatment, you know, like their psychologist treatment, they offer the ability for people to come there and have, like, relaxation, exercises. You know, to be able to pour that in and offer this to the community and to the members of that place, I mean, I think that's a pretty great thing. And when you look at the way they're doing it, and if that's the model that they could emulate around the country, I mean, I think it could be really beneficial.
California, Nevada, Arizona, Maine, maybe Massachusetts.
For the last 15 years, as the medical marijuana movement especially has gone forward, everything good that has happened, and I'm speaking roughly, has happened because of voters mostly and the ballot initiative project. Are we at a point now where we can finally start seeing good things happen because of politicians or not in spite of politicians?
Well, what we saw with medical marijuana is that the ballot initiatives came first, and then state legislatures started passing the bills, and then Congress started getting interested in it, but of course not passing anything. I think you're going to see the same thing with legalization. Ballot initiatives first, Rhode Island will be the first legislature, and Congress is starting to pay attention. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher's bill, Republican from Orange County, is a really good legalization bill on the federal level, and he is talking about making this one of his top priorities in the years that he has left in Congress. We'll be right back.
We need to ensure that incarceration is used to punish, to deter, and to rehabilitate, but not merely to warehouse and to forget. Too many Americans go to too many prisons for far too long and for no truly good law enforcement reason. By targeting the most serious offenses, prosecuting the most dangerous criminals, directing assistance to crime hotspots, and pursuing new ways to promote public safety, deterrence, efficiency, and fairness, we in the federal government can become both smarter and tougher on crime. Although incarceration has a significant role to play in our justice system, widespread incarceration at the federal, state, and local levels is both ineffective and unsustainable.
From the courthouse at Fort Meade, where Bradley Manning has sat all summer, you could travel a few dozen kilometers and 45 years back to another federal courthouse in Maryland, where 9 defendants sat after visiting a conscription draft board and taking hundreds of files into the parking lot and burning them with napalm as the war in Vietnam continued. One of those defendants in the dock, Daniel Ellsberg, or rather Daniel Berrigan was to say, our apologies, good friends, for burning paper instead of children. We'll be right back. 4.5 decades later, a similar sort of apology, if you can call it that, is in the air from Bradley Manning. Forgive us, forgive me.
And you agree to help him. Do you dare go back on him?
For disclosing deadly secrets rather than keeping and perpetuating them. And that is, I think, really our situation today, where the warfare state equals the surveillance state. There is no difference in the United States, in Great Britain, or around the world. There is no difference between the warfare state and the surveillance state. They are one and the same. And we have not only the opportunity, but the necessity to recognize what we're truly dealing with in this historical era, and of course, to develop the appropriate human response. I think really our situation today, where the warfare state equals the surveillance state. There is no difference in the United States and Great Britain or around the world. There is no difference between the warfare state and the surveillance state. They are one and the same.
Into a police thing yet. They haven't totally exploited that capability in order to bring people in for questioning, detain them in mass, torture Americans yet. But that could happen from one day to the next, from 1 hour to the next. I'm certain that testimony is correct, that these wiretaps have led to a listing of people at various times in the past. It's been a million people under J. Edgar Hoover who would be detained if need be, under any kind of great civil disturbance or a new war or whatever, anti-war movement, environmental movement, activists of any kind, on the right and the left, by the way. The Tea Party we've already seen looked at by the IRS. So we have not only the capability of a police state, but certain beginnings of it right now.
How?
Absolutely agree with Edward Snowden. It's worth a person's life. The prospect of assassination or life in prison or life in exile. It's worth that to try to restore our liberties and make this a country, a democratic country.
Third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight.
told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. Bye-bye, I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender, the skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. And kids are walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all. But it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
She keeps me.
reopened.
Happy cannabis crop, y'all.
In some states, it's legal to grow, to sell, to smoke. And marijuana could be legalized in a city near you. So easy to get. And many think so harmless. But when the smoke clears, is marijuana bad for you? Or could pot actually be good for you?
Marijuana is better than all those pills for you in terms of treating?
Yeah.
I travel the world for answers. What does marijuana do to you? What does it do to your kids? A special investigation. Weed. Our journey begins here, in this small town home, nestled in the mountains, with a family who has never allowed TV cameras in before. And you're going to soon learn why.
This is so pretty out here.
Yeah.
They live in Colorado, one of two states where it's legal to smoke pot medically and recreationally. But here, it's also taboo to residents like Paige Figge and her husband, Matt.
I'm sure it was mentioned to us by someone, hey, you should try this. And I thought, no way.
He thought that's fringe stuff.
No way,
that's...
not a million years, no.
But in this area, marijuana is far from fringe.
Four joints, and do you want Island Sweet Scum?
Medical dispensaries are everywhere.
Hey, welcome, guys.
People are smoking in private clubs and public festivals. But none of this is for Matt. He's a military man, and marijuana would be a career ender.
I grew up in Wisconsin in a well-loving family, and I was educated to, like, oh, that's a drug. You don't do that. And I never did.
But just decades ago, marijuana was a legitimate medication, also called cannabis, prescribed by doctors and dispensed by pharmacies.
This is Harry J.
But that all changed in 1930.
A relentless warfare against...
Henry Anslinger, the United States' first drug czar. For him, public enemy number one. You guessed it, marijuana.
This guy saw how he could increase the budget of his department by having this mission, going after marijuana.
You know, saying that there's this drug that the Mexican migrant workers are smoking and it's loco weed and it's going to make them crazy and they're going to rape your women.
He got the anti-marijuana message out through news reports. And then came this.
It is convinced that he is hopelessly and incurably insane.
The film, Reefer Madness, portraying the users of marijuana as unproductive, crazed.
People are still afraid of what pot can do to them.
In many ways, to have defined our attitudes now for 70 years.
Yeah.
Marijuana then became illegal in 1937. And by 1970, it was a Schedule I controlled substance. The government was saying it had no medicinal value and had a high potential for abuse. All reasons why the Figge stayed away from marijuana. Until this. And this might be hard for some of you to watch.
It's okay, baby.
This is their daughter, Charlotte, having a seizure.
We just thought it was just one random febrile seizure.
Nothing to really do, right. No medications. It's a fluke.
Right.
A fluke made sense. After all, Charlotte, nicknamed Charlie, was born perfectly healthy, a fraternal twin to sister Chase.
Charlie always had big, big smiles. Just happy kids.
Easy.
Yeah, easy. Very much so. So it was around 3 months, you said, that when you first noticed that Charlie had a seizure.
I was changing her diaper, well, putting a new diaper on from after the bath, and her eyes just started flickering.
It led to the first of many trips to the ER.
They did the million-dollar workup, the MRI, EEG, spinal tap. You know, they did the whole workup and found nothing and sent us home.
No abnormal blood tests, no abnormal scan.
And developing normally, too. You know, talking and walking and the same day as her twin. Nothing was behind yet.
By the time she was two, though, the seizures had become constant and started to take their toll on their once happy, joyful little girl.
She started to really decline cognitively, and she was slipping away, and she just wasn't keeping up with her twin.
The Figge's finally found an answer, and it was awful news. Dravet syndrome. It is severe, intractable epilepsy. The seizures start during the first year of life and are unstoppable, difficult to control, and very damaging.
severe behavioral problems, attention deficit and hyperactivity, the self-injury, you know, banging her head on the floor and pulling her hair out and like a possessed child. This isn't your perfect, happy Charlotte.
It was a race against time. Many Dravet kids die young in early childhood. Charlotte was almost three. For the next 2 years, the Figgies tried everything. Strange diets, acupuncture, and dozens of powerful drugs like Valium, Ativan, phenobarbital. But nothing seemed to help. Even worse, some of the medications nearly killed her.
After one dose, she stops breathing. And after two doses, her heart will stop.
Did you have to do CPR then on her yourself?
Yes. I remember when her heart stopped and I had her pulse and I lost her pulse. There was just nothing. The ambulance is on its way.
She survived.
Here.
But now it was fall of 2011, and Charlotte was 5 years old.
When things were at their worst, she just sees all night, and the kids are sleeping either in my room or next to her. They can hear her seizure scream all night, 50 times a night. And Chase would come in the morning and just, this is her twin, and just hug her and like rub her head and say, I'm just so glad you survived through the night last night.
Matt had been deployed to Afghanistan. And the only thing he could do to help was start scouring the internet. And he stumbled onto this video of a child using marijuana.
So how's everything going?
Jaden had 4 days without a seizure.
I'm like, wow, this having success on specifically Dravet, this is interesting, it's natural.
And while he couldn't ever imagine taking marijuana himself, he was now in the stunning position of recommending it for Charlotte.
And can be retrieved on file, that will certainly affect people's freedom of speech over any digital means, certainly. And by the way, it gives the government blackmail capability over the population at large. And that's the way the Stasi in East Germany, the secret police in East Germany, if you look at the movie The Lives of Others, That's how they used the indiscretions, the blackmail capability they had over people, to turn them into informants.
Is in the air from Bradley Mann. Forgive us, forgive me for disclosing deadly secrets rather than keeping and perpetuating them. And that is, I think, really our situation today, where the warfare state equals the surveillance state. There is no difference in the United States and Great Britain or around the world. There is no difference between the warfare state and the surveillance state. They are one and the same.
All right there. Hey, look, this is Furious George. I'm going to sign off, send you into the next hour of Micropower Radio Radio. If you like what you're hearing and you happen to be interested in some of the different topics, although I believe they all are one and the same, they all weave in and out of each other in one oppressive way or another. So anyway, look, if you want to hear more about Furious George, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. Or if you want to just check out this awesome studio and station that we're about, WCOMFM.org. And, of course, the best thing to do is just listen to live Micropower Radio in your home, where you'll hear some crazy bass nectar beats like this. And who knows what else. So, thanks for listening. I'm Furious. I'll be back next week. See ya.